6:32 PM. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 25-301, moved by Counselor Zulak, second by Counselor Hassan. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held July 15th, 2025. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Back into regular session, we'll have roll call once again.
Counselor Morley Hassan.
Counselor Debbie Zulak.
Counselor Nick Rodham.
Counselor Mike Ekinen.
Park Administrator Carly Brighton.
Deputy Clerk Aaron Smith.
And Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and/or personal interest of the general nature thereof?
Yes, I do, on 15.1 and 19.1.
Okay, that's recorded. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. And Resolution 25-302, moved by Counselor Ryan, second by Counselor Ekinen. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller does hereby approve the minutes of the July 2nd, 2025 regular meeting of council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Okay, so we're on to 15.1.
I'll leave the room.
Okay. I think we could probably, before reading this resolution, is Patrick online?
Yes.
Okay, for the Hascom application, maybe just give us a little background. I know we have your report.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I can certainly do that. Morley Hascom owns land at 167 Broadbent Road, and he created a lot previously where his residence is. And the retained lands from that severance are to be, proposed to be split again to create a severed lot on the easterly side of Leftover Parcel. And in order to facilitate that, there is a small lot addition from Morley's residential lot that needs to take place. It's approximately 3 meters of road frontage that is needed for the retained lands for the proposed consent. And also, there's a right-of-way proposed over the severed lands from Broadbent Road. Mr. Hascom indicated that that would be the best location for a driveway, I think both for the lay of land purposes and also because of the curve. So the proposed right-of-way would be for a driveway from Broadbent Road.
Okay, great. Thanks, Patrick. Any questions from the council? I guess I had the one question in your report. Now, I know this is from the PPS 2024. It talks about settlement areas. And I just want a clarification that even though it's a, I think you called it a Broadbent community, we really don't have any settlement areas as such. I think that's one thing we wanted to, stress to the municipal affairs, that we don't have a settlement area, but any area in a sense could be a settlement area. I know there are some built-up areas, but we don't define them as such as a PPS might. I don't know whether you concur with that or not, Patrick.
I suppose you're correct. There are communities, but not necessarily
we tried to stress that to them is that they'd said that the lot should be built in the settlement areas or severed, and that that's where you want your development. But we'd argue that well, we already have services out through the secondary roads, the other roads that are beyond the built up areas, such as the, I think we ended up calling them hamlets, as in Broadbent and Herdville and the village of McKellar. So we wanted to make sure that there could be a development along those other roads as well, so we didn't want to really classify them as settlement areas.
Okay, I think maybe I was thinking more of hamlets.
Yes. I think that's how we left it, and I don't know, we're working on certainly a revision of the official plan, and we hope, anyway, and the zoning bylaws, it's taking a while with municipal affairs, but I don't know how it'll be defined when we get those documents back. The only other thing we'd added in here, I'll just get your opinion on it, the whole idea of an entrance permit for this right-of-way. Now, I know it's jumping the gun, it's before, but we just want to make sure that the right-of-way could actually receive an entrance permit. Otherwise, there's really no point in having it. So we put that in as a condition. I know it went beyond what you had suggested. Do you think that's an appropriate thing to put it at this point? That the public works super show that maybe an entrance permit could be approved in the future in that location?
All right, I think that makes sense. Obviously, access, so the public works could confirm that that is an appropriate location, that or like there is an appropriate location. We wouldn't want to approve a consent that had an issue after the fact, so I think that makes sense.
Okay, any other questions from council? I'll read the resolution then. We have resolution 25-303, moved by Councilor Ryland, seconded by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has no objections to the approval of consent application number B09/2025 Haslam, as applied for by Morley Haslam, subject to the following conditions. Number one, payment of a fee in lieu of parkland as required in the Township of McKellar fees and charges bylaw. Number two, 911 addressing for the proposed new lot. Three, that the applicant can convey any portion of Broadbent Road 10 meters from the center line to both the severed and retained property to the Township of McKellar. Four, that the applicant's solicitor confirm that the lot addition will merge with the benefiting lot. Five, payment of any applicable planning board fees. And six, that written confirmation be received from the public works superintendent that an entrance permit for the proposed right-of-way leading to the proposed severed lot can be provided. Now, that's misworded there. That was changed because of your change report. It should be right-of-way leading to the proposed retained lot through the severed lot, right?
Correct.
I think we have the old resolution here. Okay, any further discussion on that resolution? Call the question then, all in favor? None opposed, carried. Patrick's hanging around for our next couple, too. Good.
Yep.
Need some extra advice on some of these here. On to 15.2. We have resolution 25-304, moved to Councilor Kekkonen, seconded by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the zoning bylaw amendment application submitted by Christopher Moffat, proposing to rezone the property located at 70 Burnett's Road from Waterfront Residential 2, WF2, to Rural, RU, required by consent application number B05/2024 Moffitt, and further that council deems the application to be complete in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act. Discussion from council. I don't know whether, Patrick, you want to weigh in on this one. I know it's been deferred a couple of times, and I've noticed that some changes were made, actually in the application showing that it was 60-meter frontage. I appreciate that. Just had a couple other questions, though. Apparently, this was done by video. Is that the application? I see it here by video at the town of Caledonia in the application. And the reason I'm asking is that there are quite a few sections in the application that haven't been signed. And I'm wondering if you have signatures anywhere, because the section 12, for instance, says that this section must be completed for the application to be processed. And that comes up a couple of times where we have no signatures. And I'm just wondering what you have available there, because I think you were part of this.
No, this is a rezoning application through the township.
Oh, so nothing to do with...
No, nothing to do with Patrick. And
okay,
I wonder,
sorry to put you on the spot.
I wonder if the last rezoning application did have the signatures, and for some reason the amendment with the increased frontage didn't come through.
Just to answer that as much as I can, the Moffitts did contact me about the rezoning, but I didn't know that there were sections that weren't signed in the application that was submitted to Cal.
Okay, it's just that, like, we've had a little bit of trouble with it right from the start. You're just trying to get things done properly. And it worries me a little bit, because I don't see anything anywhere that says that even electronic signature would be accepted. It just looks to me like it has to be a physical signature, and so many sections left blank. So I'm just wondering if we should be going any further, whether this should be deferred again until we get it filled out properly.
So I can confirm that the first application they sent through did have signatures. They, for some reason, didn't come through on the second one.
Okay, so all the boxes were filled in?
Correct. So perhaps if they're electronic signatures and they did an amendment to the application, they may have not come through. But I can just take the signature pages and attach them to the page where the amendment was made.
Council agreeable to that? Don't want to hold this up anymore, but...
I'm wondering a condition on the resolution that the application must be signed to be complete. Maybe we could vote on the resolution adding in that conditional that the signatures be
complete. Well, that's interesting, because the last part of this resolution says the application is complete. So we'd have to change that.
Yeah.
Councilor Peckman?
Yeah, I wouldn't be comfortable with taking the application from July 2nd with a June 3rd, 2025 date, and putting it in a July 15th report saying that because now you're claiming something to be factual that isn't, so.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Mike on that, but if we do put as a condition of signature on the application, is that possible, Carly, or?
No, for the application kind of needs to be complete. Yeah, can't really be a condition.
Councilor Zula.
So can we send it back again and get it done properly?
Yeah.
And then submit it at another council meeting, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about the only way I see it.
Okay, so we agree on a deferral?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only way.
I'm sure they're going to think we're doing it on purpose, but
yeah.
It's not us that's causing the problems.
No, but if it went back to me, if this was mine and it went back to me because of a problem and I corrected that, I would be doubly sure to make sure I have everything else filled out.
And that you fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Right? It's It's not unreasonable.
Okay, call for your deferral. All those in favor? None opposed?
And it needs to be signed by a commissioner for oaths, too.
Right. But apparently it was.
It was.
Sorry?
Apparently it was. It just wasn't conveyed to this one that we have in front of us, but...
How hard is it to look at the form and say, is it or isn't it, right? So, I'm not trying to be any kind of a hard person on this. It just, it leaps out of us.
Okay, now we're on 15.3, and we do have Patrick involved in this one. With Cameron Ward, maybe just a little background again. We have your report, but...
This is an application by the Wards at Middle River Farm, and actually the subject land is separate farm by road allowance. So the subject land isn't actually attached to the farm, but the lot has frontage both on Center Road and on Lakeshore Road, and the proposed centered lot is to be on the eastern side of the lot on Lakeshore Road. It's a minimum size lot, 0.4 hectares, and 60 meters of frontage. The one thing that makes this one sound a little different than some of them is because it is adjacent to the farm, I was able to get the from the boards on the farm, where the waste is stored and a number of types of animals, and did the MDS calculation for that, and came back that it wasn't a problem because the proposed lot would be roughly 590 meters from the farm, and the MDS calculation said that the minimum would be 194 meters. So case, it's
well, I have to applaud anybody who can figure out that MDS formula.
Yeah.
So you've been able to do well there.
There is an online calculator, Mr. Mayor, or I wouldn't have been able to do it either.
Now that you've done it once, I guess there's a question, because I had a phone call from a neighbor who said that that's also going to have to be applied to his place, the Moore farm, because it's right near where he is. And his concern is by the Fox Farm Road that the piece has to be severed. His concern was, even though this is going to Cameron's son, if he ever built or sold and somebody else came in and the wind shifted, because his barn is not that far away, it's probably, well, I don't know if it's closer than the Wards, but his cattle and his barn. So he was saying maybe the minimum distance separation should be calculated for his property as well. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the land right there, whether you think that's a requirement, or he seemed to think it was. So.
I am not sure. I think I know which neighbor that might be, and I would have to get the information on that operation in order to do that. So maybe I should look at that for the planning board's consideration. Yes.
I think that'd be worthwhile, and I think he'd be agreeable to that. So.
Okay.
So would we make that a condition, or would we defer this in the meantime?
I don't know what the time for this is. Fairly new, so I think there's still time to defer. The reason I'll talk
should be reversed.
Deferral in a section, because yes, Councillor Zulak, you had a point.
Sorry, I just saying. So actually, these are reversed: the subject land and the lands owned by the applicant. The subject land.
Which
is
page you on?
This one.
Which one?
Here, right?
Page two, is it?
I don't even know. Doesn't have a page. 1, 2, four.
Okay.
Well, the diagram?
No, it is actually that property.
Is that the property that
yes,
we're talking
yeah.
about? The subject land?
Yeah.
Not this one?
No.
No.
Okay. Okay.
And when you do look at West Spirit Sound Geography Network, I think what the neighbor is saying is accurate, that their barn is closer to that property than the landowner who's the subject of this consent.
Right, so it would be a good move then to do the minimum distance separation from that property as well. Yeah. And then ultimately, it's the municipality's responsibility to make sure that that's carried out properly. So, Councillor Ryan?
Yeah, shouldn't there be a condition for an entrance permit here too? From Lakeshore? I mean, I don't see one. I don't imagine there is one, but.
There is in the resolution. We added that.
Okay.
Once I read that, you'll see.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I was just looking at the application. But,
yeah. But on page 7 of your report, Patrick, I just wondered when Councillor Zudak talked about reversed, I wonder if that little section of yellow that's been reversed. We have subject land. I don't know whether you have it in front of you or not. But.
I do, Mr. Mayor, and I believe there was a discrepancy in that where the yellow should be further over.
Right.
Show the subject lines.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so all zone rural, but not exactly correct. Right.
And the other question I had, because we're looking at, we put this in the resolution, that it be the 10 meters from the center line on the severed and the retained portion. And I'm looking at the application itself, and I'm wondering if the figures are accurate there. The severed lot is 60 meters, as you said, and the retained lot says it's 60 meters as well. I think there's some confusion. I read the retained as 330 meters.
The 330 is correct, yes. Yes, should not say 60 meters for the retained. Should be 60 meters for the severed.
Okay, and I'm looking also at the depth then. It should be roughly 350, but rather than 63. It looks like the applicant has just filled in the same figures for the retained and the severed. And the same with the area, should be 19.2 hectare rather than 0.4.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. I don't know whether anything really hangs on that, but if we're going to consider deferment so that we can get the other MDS completed, then that could be corrected as well, perhaps. It's nice to have an accurate application. But
absolutely, just to be correct in the file, yes, I agree.
So I'll read the resolution and see if we go from there. We have Resolution 25-305, moved by Councillor Haskin, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has no objections to the approval of consent application number B14/2025 Ward, as applied for by Cameron Ward, subject to the following conditions. Number one, payment of a fee in lieu of parkland to be required in the Township of McKellar fees and charges bylaw. Number two, 911 addressing for the proposed new lot. Number three, that the applicant convey any portion of Lakeshore Road for severed and retained properties 10 meters from the center line, to the Township of McKellar. Number four, payment of any applicable planning board fees. And five, that written confirmation be received from the Public Works Superintendent that an entrance permit can be approved. Further discussion of the resolution.
Could I make just one comment, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
For a condition to be that any portion of Lakeshore Road on the retained lands, that might be quite a significant distance, whereas normally the survey would only include the suburbs.
Yeah, just the reason to put that in there, and I know this is a large distance, we have quite a few roads in the township. We put this in as a condition so that we actually get it into the township name. Otherwise, it's just sort of a trespass road. It's never really owned by the township. And I noticed a lot of the applications that go through. through the planning board, you can correct me on this if I'm incorrect, talk about the severed and the retained portion. It's not just the severed portion, it's the property that's under question. And so I think that's the reason we wanted to put that in there. And I know it's a, quite a stretch, but again, I think that's our duty to try to get it into the township's name, if at all possible. I'm not saying, I mean, legally, I don't know. The applicant could perhaps argue that, just as you're mentioning, it'd just be on the separate portion, but we haven't run into a problem in the past by putting in retained. And I just want to get council's opinion on that. We've heard Patrick's.
Yes, I would feel the same way you do, Dave. I don't think it would be too financially onerous for the applicant to have that stretch conveyed to the township. I think it is good planning, and if they do sever more lots, well, then it will all already be accomplished.
Councilor Kuykendall?
And it's an opportune time to do it, because we're not reviewing all the roads systematically. We're doing it sporadically as consensus comes forward, so it's an opportune time to do it. So.
Okay, I'll put this out to council, whether you want the other MDS done, and whether you want these applications completed, whether you want a deferral now until that's completed properly. I'll call the question, all those for a deferral. Okay, so it is deferred.
And that would include adjusting the measurements on the retained lot.
Right.
Also.
Yeah.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
So that's it, Patrick.
Yeah.
Thanks, Patrick, for coming tonight. We've moved 17.4 up. We have resolution 25-306, moved to Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McCullough has hereby received report FD-2025-09 from Rob Morrison, Fire Chief. Further, the Council award item A, a request for proposal number 2025-11 to supply and install 1 200-foot self-supporting communications tower to Max Tower Company Limited in the amount of $218,200 plus HST of $28,366 for a total of $246,556. No sense. Discussion. Well, we actually have our fire chief here, so maybe he'd want to speak to it. I have a couple of questions, but I'll let you just maybe give us the background, and then this council can ask.
Well, you received, everybody's received the, just a summary report, correct? And had a chance to go over it. I can vocalize the summary report so that it's on record in council if you'd like, or we can just agree to this.
Well, it's always good, I think, for anybody who's listening in, who maybe hasn't looked at the agenda or hasn't seen the report.
Okay, very good.
Quick summary.
So the a brief overview of this is that the Township of McCullough conducted an RFP to address the need for a new communications tower, which was identified during an independent contract analysis of the existing tower during the summer of 2024, so 1 year ago. At that time, it was determined by the independent third party at the time that the existing structure was stressed beyond recommended capacity. It no longer met current safety standards for a tower of this type, and they recommended the replacement of the tower and the removal of the existing structure. Our RFP process ran for approximately 6 weeks. We closed it on June 27th after a single week extension at the request of a couple of the bidders. And the bids were then, the submitted bids were then opened on the afternoon of June 27th in the presence of the mayor, the clerk, the deputy clerk, and myself. So the total number of bids that we received and unsealed were 7. The range of pre-HST bids was from $24,500 up to $408,500. The bids included the erection of a 200-foot self-supporting tower, the decommissioning and removal of the old tower. The old tower, which is a guide tower, a cable-supported tower, and the installation of a new backup power unit to ensure that tower communications are unaffected by blackout and so forth. The clerk advised on Friday after we had our little meeting that she advised all of the bidders of the unofficial sealed results. And I have been in contact with Max Power too, as well, just to sort of give them the heads up. The low three is really the best terminology I could come up with, the best three bidders, according to our ranking system, were then shared with our trusted third-party contractor, which is Telequip. Telequip has got an extensive amount of experience in the telecommunications industry. We rely on them for our radios. They're in the midst of doing the big hospital dispatch upgrade right now. They won the contract for that. So I'm quite comfortable in speaking with Kelly Best from Telequip and asking his opinion on certain things. Their opinion of the bids that they received was that Max Towers appeared to be the best bid, and that they have the experience that they have with Max Tower has always been positive. So they were unfamiliar with the third place bidder. They had never experienced directly anything with them, but the other two that they did have direct experience with, and they recommended that we go with Max Tower, which was convenient because they were the low bid anyways. So there was no change of course or justification necessary. Upon approval from council of the submitted package, Max Tower will finalize the drawings within the next couple weeks. They'll assign a geotech to commence the operation, the examination of the site. The site, as you know, is 13 Lees Road, which is just outside of the dump, just outside of the transfer station. There is that small piece of pie that used to be the roadbed that has been assumed by the township. It is township property that has been confirmed. And all of the bidders were quite interested in being able to use that because it looked like a good, clear, stable place to be able to put the tower just off the side of Center Road. And the location itself is ideal for a communications tower because it is slightly higher than what we currently have on Balsam Road. But the big thing is it's smack right in the middle of the township, as opposed to being on Balsam, which is on the northern end of the township. Our fire department radio communications are going to get significantly better. The coverages of the bottom parts of the township that we suffered blackout areas, this should take care of all of those. But also, we do have one tenant on the tower, and they're an internet provider, and now they have closer, better, more complete coverage of tenants around the lake that they can provide service to. So this is to their advantage as well. They have been open in saying that they plan on moving to the new tower with us. We have a deal in place at the site of, for the site of the new tower for them to be the second rated tenant. Essentially, we're at the top. The fire department is right at the top, as we are now, and then after that, it would be the next tenant, which is Spectrum. I'm allowed to say the words. So now that we're in open forum, so Spectrum has also agreed to provide us with a $40,000 contribution to the new tower, which does help us afford the adjusted price from what we were originally dealing with in the fall of last year. That obviously changed for various different reasons, political climate and so forth aside. But they've agreed to contribute $40,000 to the cost of the new facility, which is fantastic. Have you already taken care of that part of it?
No, it'll be next.
Yes, okay. All right. So, the tower should be, Max Tower says that the tower should be completed before the deadline of October 15th. The price pre-HST was $218,200 for just the tower. The decommissioning and disposal of the old tower had a price tag of $10,500, and the backup power for Max Tower was $16,800. We had this broken into three different sections in the RFP because it allowed us to defer if the prices were getting too high, certain aspects of the contract to another year. So because we have an agreement in place with Spectrum, who currently has equipment on the old tower, they have been given the contracted time of 12 months notice to be able to move their equipment off of the old tower. So theoretically, they can still be a tenant here on Balsam Road until June 1st of next year. So the decommissioning of the tower, by separating it up, allowed us to be flexible and put that into next year's cost structure. Okay. I have no doubt that they're going to hop on that tower, the new tower, as soon as it's erected, because it's a lot easier to put it up as it's going up, put the equipment on as it's going up, than it is to do it later. But they do have the option of staying on this tower until June 1st of next year. The decommissioning of this tower will take place after June 1st of next year. The backup power of $16,800. We've decided to defer this until it can be budgeted into a future year, because we've increased it to the point where this doesn't fit in the amount of cash that we have on hand for this project at this time. It is a very valuable thing to have for the tower, obviously, to have uninterrupted communications. At current, we have a battery that will back up our communications for 4 to 6 hours, and then at that time, I have a generator stowed away that we have to have somebody go out and charge the backup battery for an hour, and then you get 6 hours off, and then you have to go back and charge the backup battery for an hour. So it's not ideal, but it works, right? So eventually, getting that put in place as an automatic backup power unit, that's the battle. So 2025, we budgeted $180,000 for this project because that was the quote as of last year, end of August. Max Tower provided us with the rough quote at that time. Okay. So the $180,000 plus the $40,000 contribution from Spectrum brings us to our available funds of $220,000. The wild card in the mix here is, once Max Tower does the application to the Ministry of Transportation, that's the only time we'll know whether or not we require lighting on the tower or not. The Ministry of Transportation will then do an assessment and they'll let us know. And so we may not need the $11,950 for the lighting, but we might. And if we do, at that point in time, we will just have to figure out where that $12,000 will come from. Okay? Every aspect of this RFP and the process was done in respecting the policies that affected the proposal, the strategic asset management policy, the procurement of goods policy, as well as the identification of the tower as being a piece of our critical infrastructure from our community risk assessment that was available last year. So my recommendation is that council agrees to sign off and move forward with the proposal provided by Max Tower. Do you have any questions at all about it?
I guess the one to start off, the actual civic address worries me a little bit. I'm almost thinking, since it's 13 Lees Road, that's our transfer station address. We want to make sure this is separate from the transfer station. I'm wondering, and I know they haven't necessarily, because we haven't signed anything yet, we don't know the exact location. It's going to be outside the transfer station, but I'm thinking it would make sense to have a severed portion of that property that's dedicated to the tower, so it wouldn't be confused. I noticed with Spectrum, even in their agreement, they're calling it 13 Lees Road, and they can have access at any time they wish. To me, I would interpret that as transfer station. So I'm wondering if this could be severed once they decide on where the property should be. The tower.
Yeah, I see no issue with this. I'm not well versed in the planning and aspect of things in terms of assigning addresses and so forth. But I don't see why that would be an issue. Do you?
13 Lees Road was just used more as an address so that the proponents could know where to go. We do have a survey that would identify a part number on a registered plan that can be put into an agreement, and that's how the tower can be identified, and we can remove the civic address as 13 Lees Road.
That would be good. I think that would, it would have a separate PIN number then for that piece, or?
I'm sure if the Terranet Pink incorporates more, but there are separate part numbers within a registered plan, and that's all that we would need to identify with.
Okay, I think that'd be good, because I noticed, well, we'll have a discussion on this spectrum agreement too, but it's all through their agreement, and that worried me a little bit, just the way that's being
I understand that, yeah, and perhaps an amendment to the agreement could be just simply identifying tower facilities versus transfer facilities,
mm-hmm.
as transfer facilities are excluded from the terms of that agreement.
Another question about the beginning of your report, I just wondered about clarification here. I've sat in on quite a few tender openings. Just the wording, the evaluation of the submitted bids occurred that afternoon. I would contend there was no evaluation. We just heard numbers. Evaluation implies that somebody made a decision here.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Just to clarify, so that somebody wouldn't think that there's four people making a decision on what should be done here, on which ones would be the best bids. Yes.
Just I agree with everything you're saying there, Rob. It's just I have a little bit of concern with your report, the end of it, with conclusion.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering if maybe in the future you can pay more attention to in camera and.
Is that not the term? If he was standing at the podium, I'm sorry, if I got that incorrect.
Enclosed.
Oh, it is the term, but I'm thinking, I don't know, I'll let the council do
that. Well, it was done enclosed, was it not?
I don't believe so, because I believe there was a member of the public that was part of the ham radio
was
club.
It
Bruce Clemens.
So
he was
it wasn't open?
I assume so, because he was here.
Okay.
If I've got that incorrect,
no,
then I
if
apologize.
That's my mistake then, no
so.
Problem. Yeah, that's fine. I was just worried that
okay.
it was enclosed,
yes.
and now it was public information and
yeah.
stuff like that.
So no, I understand that. I
that's
understand.
Great.
Yes, sir.
So in addition to the $40,000 initial contract agreement, then Spectrum is going to provide $180 monthly plus HSD to locate the antennas and equipment on the tower for the first 3 years, and thereafter $300 monthly plus HSD?
I believe that's correct. Yes, that's part of the next, I think that's another motion within council.
Right. Let's deal with this motion and then we can get to that, yes.
But that is affected by the cost of living allowance as well. There is an increase every year.
Is this a speculative agreement?
It's still dealing with the
Max Power?
This, yeah, Max
okay.
Power.
Dealing with this, that's fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. So you mentioned the 10,500 decommission, so that's in 2026?
Correct.
As well, it does mention, and it says that quotation, and it I believe it says this is included. So
which part are we looking at?
So this is June 25th, 2025. Their quotation.
Okay.
Quotation valid for doesn't say how many days.
Should be 90.
So you know, do you have this one here?
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay, I can put that. Thanks.
Okay.
Yep. Got it.
We got this already. So it says optional price to shop paint the tower.
Yes.
Is this included, like, in the quote?
So, my understanding, and it to the best of my understanding here, from speaking with Robert Dirks, is they're going to tell him that he either has to paint the tower, or he has to light the tower.
Oh, so...
So
this is not.
So if there was a paint the tower determination,
okay.
My understanding from him, and I don't believe I'm wrong. I could be, but that 4,200. Like if we don't have to light the tower, then we the other option of 4,280. I didn't include it in the synopsis because it was below the 12,000. That was like the more expensive item, the more expensive bill that we could be sprung on us would be the lighting, right? I figured that the painting of the tower was the lesser of two evils.
So
it didn't include it in the summer.
So this is not included in the price, and these are going to be extra.
No, these
costs.
would be the options. Yes,
so these are extra costs above and beyond the total that we're agreeing on here, $246,556.
Correct. And again, my understanding is that they're either going to say it's great, you don't have to do anything. They're going to say, oh, you have to paint it.
Okay.
Or they're going to say, oh, you have to light it. I don't believe that there's the opportunity for them to say, oh, you have to do everything.
Okay, so
these are just individual options.
So actually, so my question about the painting was because there was a comment previously on the previous tower that it had not been painted for X amount of years. So this is not surface treatment painting. This is just for visual identification for the tower.
Visual acuity, I believe.
So this is not to ensure the structural integrity and prevent any corrosion and deterioration of the metal structure of the tower. This is just visual.
That's not my understanding, though. I believe the tower is corrosion-free, and I believe that the painting would be maybe perhaps a red light,
okay.
Or something to identify it.
Okay.
I'm not for a from a maintenance point of view.
Right, because it would make a lot of sense from a maintenance point of view that it's painted in the shop before it's installed. Instead of getting someone to climb it, a year from now and to paint it.
100% agree.
Okay. So then as well, these additional optional price to disconnect hive from existing site and optional price to remove, dispose of the shelter, these are 2026?
These would be 2026, yes. We have the choice of locking up the doghouse that's currently there and leaving it, emptying it out and leaving it. Have it torn down and removed, and so forth. So these would be 2026 items.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion on this resolution?
I just have a question for
Robert. How, if we are required to put the lighting on the tower, how is that powered with solar? Or?
No, that's powered through the regular power grid structure. It would be, if we did have a backup battery, a backup generator, then that would keep it going.
Okay.
I would assume that they have some sort of battery backup system for the bulb because if they deem it's that important, right? It's not. That hasn't been itemized in any of the.
Right. My concern was if the hydro did go out, I guess, are we obligated to make sure that it has a source of backup power?
I'm not familiar with that.
Right.
But right now, when we go and spark up our generator to recharge our radio batteries, it solely does the repeater. It doesn't do anything else.
Right.
So.
Okay.
I think those are good questions to have answered. And the height, too, I know for aircraft, and I don't know whether this has anything to do with that.
Yeah, I believe that would be the main thing. It's interesting, speaking with the bidders, and I've gone and visited the site with not every bidder, but most bidders when they requested a tour of the Lees Road site and so forth, as well as the old tower. They say it's a coin toss as to whether you're going to have to do it or not. They put, one contractor said, we just put a 400-foot tower in Barrie and didn't have to put a thing on it. But then you have 200-foot towers that are just in the right area that they require lights or painting or something. So I'm not sure, and they couldn't tell me with any degree of certainty what we would require.
Do you know how tall the bell tower is at Stewart's Park?
Off the top, I have seen a schematic, but I don't remember.
I think it's
200 feet.
Yeah, it has a red light on it.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, ours currently has a red light on it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? According to the assessment, the rules have changed, and this tower is no longer any good. So, what's changed, and how is it affected? It may also be, I don't know, maybe because there was a registered airplane landing area here, and Balsam Road is so close, but Lee's Road is far enough that they don't have to worry about it.
I wonder too with the tower about setbacks. That would be something for the township to consider, I guess, from roadways or other things. And I'm not sure exact location just yet, but I don't want to run into a problem too that we're breaking the law by putting it too close to the roadways, because it'll be road on two sides anyway.
Yes.
And we have to make sure that you know, we're not too close to the boundary. But and I don't know how this would be classified. Is this a wouldn't be a main building, be accessory, I guess, of some sort, but we really haven't looked into this. It's something new for us. So.
Yeah, it's for all of us.
I guess it's something to ask Chris, I guess, then.
Telecommunications tower are within our official plan. I did ask Chris, and he didn't have any setbacks. We would be informing the public of the construction of the tower closer to with a public meeting, just so that they're made aware. And that was also a part of the tender as well with the contractor. They'll have to notify neighbors, and we'll have to hold a public meeting.
No.
Okay, I'm not sure if you have any neighbors in that area.
Yeah.
I don't even think we have. I think
we're property owners. Property owners who might want to develop.
Yeah.
So.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think, Morley, you asked this question about the backup power. And so currently on Balsam Road, that tower has battery backup power?
Yes, so the repeater has a backup battery that will last, depending on the amount of traffic that we give it, between 4 and 6 hours. If there's no traffic and it's dead air, I mean, it can apparently last up to 8 hours, but if you're transmitting and so forth, between 4 and 6 hours is what I've been told that we can rely on. We do have a small, one of those multi-fuel Home Depot generators I purchased in order to put out there so that we can charge the repeater battery when we need to.
So that tower has a light on it.
Correct.
So what happens, how does that light have to function 24/7 if there's power outage?
I am not familiar with the Transport Canada rules as they apply to that tower light. There is what might be considered a battery on the wall. It would be a very old one from when the NTO tower was originally put in. I couldn't tell you if it works. I don't even know that I've noticed it on during a blackout. I've never specifically looked to notice whether the red light is on during a blackout. I've always been concerned with other things. So,
I'm just wondering if it's one of the conditions of if you have lighting on a tower that you have to be able to ensure that there is power to the light at all times, even during a power outage. Because the bell tower on Stewart Park has a red light, and when it's cloudy or it has a white light as well. It has a white flashing light. So
they had a problem about 5 years ago, I remember, because it's right across the lake from me. And I went over there just to see if I could see anything, because I couldn't find anybody to even ask. And talked to a Bell technician who told me that was because of a circuit board failure, not because of a power failure. Right? And then they took, I think, 3 or 4 days to get a new circuit board put in. He even took me in and showed me where it was, and this is way before I was on council. I just asked questions, and he gave me answers. So gave me his phone number, for that matter. But anyway, I don't think that was due to a power outage at that time. So, and that was, I don't remember, I don't know if it was due in the wintertime or not, but it might have been, so.
So I'm just wondering about the timing of having to have this backup power, if it's something that needs to be ensured, like if the requirement is to have lighting on the tower, that you have an ability to power those lights upon installation of that tower.
It's possible. I don't know. Nobody has ever brought forward the fact that if you require this, you will require uninterrupted power supply via alternative means, such as a Generac. We've always investigated any conversation that's been had with the tower providers has always been from the viewpoint of this is beneficial for radio communications. If we're in a blackout, if we've got an ice storm, if we, whatever, if I've got 3 days here where we have no power, I still need to be able to operate the radio. We need to be dispatched for calls and so forth. Right? If we ever declare an emergency, that's a vital part of our infrastructure. It's never been approached from the standpoint of do we have to keep the transport light going? As I said, when we do fire up the generator here, it doesn't do anything. Like it's just simply an extension cord plugged into the repeater at this point in time. So, and I don't see anything, like there's nothing that I would think still functions as a battery up there. It would be so old at this point in time. There's certainly no new equipment that's been put in that tower to make sure that red light still goes. So I'm not familiar with whether that would be a new rule, whether you would have to provide that. Again, if it was, I would think that the tower provider would have said, well, hey, you're looking at this. If we have to do a red light, you're going to have to provide this. Nobody said that.
We can just double check that because you hate that.
Absolutely.
Happen.
I can call Mr. Dirks tomorrow and fire the question off. He does this all the time. So.
You'd hate to have a tower failure be the result of a air collision.
Sure.
Because the light wasn't functioning.
Of course.
So.
Yeah.
Any further discussion of this resolution? Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Move 21.1 up as well. We have resolution 25-307, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-37, being a bylaw to authorize the execution of an agreement with Spectrum Telecom Group Limited, first and second reading, further read a third time and passed and open council this 15th day of July 2025. Open for discussion. I have quite a few questions on this agreement, so I don't know how much time you have.
I can stick around for sure. If you want me, I can go and grab my laptop that way I have in front of me. Is that okay?
Do you want my lighting or you can...
Sure, unless you have a copy of the agreement right there. Most of this agreement was structured based on the previous agreement that was already in power. And signed back in 2014, I believe.
So does it, the wording come from Spectrum themselves?
No, I believe best to answer that.
Yeah, the agreement came from Spectrum, and then myself, the fire chief, and the treasurer reviewed and put our comments forward as well.
Okay. Now, I just want a clarification, because it talks about the 2014 agreement, then it talks about another agreement in 2024, I'm not sure if we've seen September the 2nd, 2024.
So in 2024, the agreement from 2014 auto-renewed.
Okay, so, but the actual 2014 we haven't seen, this council.
Okay, I can circulate that.
Yeah. I'd just be interested. The one that just to start us all off, I guess, I'm really concerned about, is on page 5 of 7. And it's 21H.
21H.
The licensor agrees to keep this agreement and its terms confidential, not disclose them unless compelled by law. And here we are in open session discussing everything in this agreement. Are we okay?
I did let Spectrum know that it has to be passed through bylaw to execute, and they were agreeable to that.
Okay, because that... I mean, we've had this happen, too, with different people who put in agreements, or I'm thinking of one we did not too long ago, they said it all had to be confidential, but then our argument is when it's an RFP sort of thing, it has to be open to the public if it's an open session. So if we're clear on that, okay. one. It talks about the site, and the site is defined as, we already talked about this, a 13 Leaf Road, so I think we'll have to narrow that down a bit when I refer to site and be more specific.
The new tower site to be developed at the transfer station, I can see where you'd be concerned about that, because it does say at the transfer station.
And then all of a sudden, too, in number one, licensed facilities, the civic address, 13 Leaf Road, legally described in Schedule A. Well, I would argue that Schedule A may not have legally described it in very general terms, maybe, but I think it should be more specific. And the also on that part, number one, it's on page two at the top. The licensee would be Spectrum allowed to attach backhaul and various distribution antennas along with associated transmission lines on the tower. Now, this is not my area of expertise. Could we get into a clutter here? How much of this tower are they going to take with this equipment? And do they have full rein on what they put on there?
At this point in time, they've paid essentially to have second string access to it. So below us, they have access to the most valuable part of the tower is the higher up that you go, obviously, because you have the greater amount of range. The equipment list that they had provided to me as to what they would be putting on the tower, I believe it was six pieces. So it's less than what's currently on the tower right now. Right now, when you look at the Balsam Road Tower, you have old MTO equipment on there, but you also have antiquated Spectrum equipment that has been there for a while. And I believe what you're going to see is about half of that. So they clearly identified, I believe, six pieces that will be exterior.
I just didn't want a situation where, you know, the second on the tower, but there's no room for a third or fourth.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
And the initial term is 10 years. That concerns me a little bit because later on it talks about if anything goes awry or if the agreement isn't completed or if it's torn down, the tower or whatever, they get that $40,000 back over the 10-year period. Any of that could happen. I'll get to the actual clause later. And that seems to be a long time.
Where do you see that, sir?
Well, the initial term is 10 years.
Yes.
And then
that's item two or item three.
I'll find the section here. Let's see here.
I think it's in six.
Is it six?
I think so. This construction.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think you've got it. Yep. Prior to or during the initial first term, which is 10 years, construction fees shall be refunded to the licensee in full. So I would say that $40,000, if we go this route, it almost has to be put in trust because we can't really do anything with it. And I don't want to be reminded of what Belvedere did with our refund and then said, oh, we did that back.
So when I read that, it would be a cancellation of the agreement. But what qualifies as a cancellation of the agreement? If a plane hit the tower, or if it got knocked over because of the weather, we still have an agreement in place. So we would then be dealing with insurance and so forth in order to get the tower rebuilt. We couldn't expect a second contribution from them, but I don't see that as having to refund it. So I'm trying to understand the concern.
Well, my concern is if something happened that we didn't say the tower was destroyed, etc., for whatever reason, and everything is nullified then, whatever agreement they got with us, we have to give that $40,000 back. And it's such a long period. 10 years. I mean, something could happen in the ninth year. And we've already calculated it in to how it reduces our costs, but can we? Because we'll have it in the bank, but it'll be earmarked for 10 years anyway. Yes.
So is the tower, would it be covered under our insurance?
I would think so.
We need to check. Does that increase our premium?
I would think you probably would, yeah.
David, I could just point out the earlier part of that says that this agreement is canceled for any reason prior to or during the initial first term by the licensor, which is us.
Right.
I mean, on what basis would we, I know we don't know, but I mean, why would we cancel something that was working effectively for us is my question. In other words, if that's the condition for them to get the $40,000 back, it isn't as if they can cancel it and get the $40,000. It's up
no,
to us.
It's up to us.
Yeah.
Got the possibility of another provider coming along and offering 2-3 times as much.
True.
So, not that that's going to happen.
I understand your concern. What was I going to say?
Sir, David, was your question really that maybe we shouldn't have a 10-year term, maybe we should have a 5-year term or a 3-year term or something?
10's a long time, and then they also want increased 5-year terms, I guess, from then on.
Mm.
And it is a long time to be bound, I guess, obligated.
Yeah.
I can see why they'd want, if they're putting money into this, they'd want long-term commitment.
Yeah, I would think that an act of God would probably not qualify as a cancellation of the agreement on our side, especially if we've done our due diligence with maintenance and insuring the tower. As for the insurance question about the tower, we currently insure this tower right now, so I don't believe it would change. I mean, could it change the rate? Could they up the rates now that we're doing a new tower? I can't speak to that, but we will only have one tower. I can't imagine it would be grotesquely different than what we currently pay in terms of insurance rates.
How much are we actually paying on this tower?
For insurance?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are we paying insurance on it?
We do have it insured, yes.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah, Roshan looked into that 2 years ago, I believe. He identified the property, and that's why there was an address sign actually put in the parking lot. I believe it's 10 Balsam Road now. Is that the first one there? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is listed under our assets.
Go ahead.
Well, I think there's lots of questions here.
A lot. I've still got quite a few more.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, so you sort of touched on this. This is the point number one, licensed facilities. And it says that the licensor, the township, hereby grants licensee the right to install a radio communication system and associated equipment in areas designated at its tower site, as well as inside the licensor-owned shelter located at Civic Address 13 Leeds Road in the community of McKellar. So is the transfer station attendant shed going to be having communications equipment in there?
No, that is intended to identify the small doghouse that is being built as part of the contract.
But it says that they're going to install stuff in there.
They're putting a small building in there, a small shelter that has power, and they have the right to install equipment in that building.
Okay, so is this site going to be fenced?
It will be secured to the spec that they have for whatever the regulation is for the amount of security. It doesn't have to be a barbed wire fence around it. It can be anti-climb, and I believe that's what most of them quoted was anti-climb hardware. So you'll see,
so like chain link fence.
The bottom 12 feet or 16 feet will be like a sheet metal that is on a hinge and it locks. And then in order for somebody to climb the tower, they have to have the key, open up the sheet metal, move it out of the way, and there's the ladder, right? So that kids can't go and climb it.
So if we can find out what our obligations are, because we are responsible for, what does it say here, the license. licensor of the township shall keep the premises serviceable and in good repair. So do we require 6 foot high chain link fencing around the site? I think we do not require it. So it's just this
the anti-climb, so yes, that's all we need. And a lock on the building, obviously. We secure it. I asked them to, when they were doing the quotations, and they asked me to do my barbed wire fencing stuff, like I said, do the spec that you are required to provide for the security of the tower so that you can't have, like, it's deemed safe. You can't have children climbing and not anybody can walk into it. So it's that they've chosen whether they're going to do, like I said, the anti-climb hardware or whether they're going to put a little fence around it. That's included in their quote. That's not something that we have to concern ourselves with after the fact.
That's consistent with the bell tower we were talking about earlier, too. It's fenced with angles. I don't think it's barbed wire, but the fence is angled out, so you couldn't easily climb up and over it. I think it's right 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
That's in memory. But
yeah.
So.
Yes, sir.
So point 9, it says hydro energy required for the operation of the town communication facility shall be provided by the licensor, which is the township, to the licensee at the licensor's sole expense. So the township is paying for, that's all included in the price?
Yeah,
we currently
cover the hydro for the tower, and that remains. That's a carryover from the previous agreement.
So additional certificates required for their equipment when there's the installation of this doghouse that you're talking about, the township is paying for that.
The power to run them?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking?
It says here that the hydro required for the operation of the telecommunication facility shall be provided by the licensor, which is the township.
Correct.
To the licensee at the licensor, the township's sole expense.
Correct. We're paying to have power to the building. My understanding is that that power equates to effectively 2 or 3 50-amp breakers. We're not talking about phase 3 electric run or anything like that. We're talking about something very simple. One of the options for powering this tower was to use some of the available slots on the panel within the transfer station's hut. That's how little it takes. So we've always paid for the power to the old tower, and it's just part of the contract that we have. We're providing them with the facilities and the utilities, and then they provide us with the rent and so on.
Right, so the rent is covering
the
electrical costs.
Correct.
Councilor Zuma?
But do we have to run a line from the power to the tower?
Yeah, so that's part of the contract, is they have to provide power to the tower, but that is, they have the option of running it from, the easiest way to do this, and part of the way that we keep costs down is that we don't have to branch off of the hydro lines along the side of Center Road. It's quite literally 3 breakers, and they're going to bury a tech cable.
Bury the line?
Yep.
Okay.
So it'll all be done.
So there's no pole,
It would be very quick and easy. I had, for my own purposes, when going through this, just so that we knew essentially what kind of ballpark we were looking at, I had an electrician, a master electrician that I know, just give me a rough quote for how much it would be to run, 2 breakers, 100 feet to a new doghouse, and he said it was $3,000, so it's built into this. It's not a big break bank.
And that's what their expense anyway, according to paragraph 9.
Yes.
Number 8, again, just to know what they mean by it, because it leaves it fairly open. They can install, remove, replace, relocate, maintain, supplement telecommunications facilities and equipment, and the provision of telecommunication services. And I just wonder, is there a limit on that? Is there a cap? Because that does concern me.
The idea of capping them at, let's say, 10 pieces has never come up. previous contract. It's not something that the clerk and I considered in writing this contract. It's never been brought up. When they identify what they have plans on putting on the tower,
I just wonder
what they've provided. I would say that the rent, we would have a case to say, you provided this list of equipment that you plan on putting on the tower, and now you've decided to put four more pieces on, so let's consider maybe we're changing the rent. You know what I mean? So,
well, as long as you can at that point, once you sign this,
you're
giving them the opportunity. I just wonder, as they get more customers, perhaps, or maybe they upgrade their equipment, and it might be a bigger piece of equipment, then suddenly, and they've got free reign to do this, they can take up more space if they're not limited to a certain space. So it worries me a little bit, because they are going to get more customers probably in that location.
I don't think so.
What they're hoping for.
I would think so.
And as I say, it's not my field of expertise by any means, but
mine either, yeah.
I don't know how much room they need, and it sounds almost like they can take whatever room they need.
What would you recommend?
Maybe we'll speak to Kelly about that. He may know.
Speak to Talk with Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can ask him to maybe identify what is what he finds common.
Yep.
11. I had it as well. If the licensee defaults under the agreement, he's not being diligently remedied within 90 days after notice, the licensor may terminate the agreement on 12 months written notice. That donation, the $40,000 construction fee, what happens to that? This is 90 days. The other is 30 days, I think, to have that in place. Do they want that back? Or do you want to write in there that they default their donation?
Forfeit the
forfeit, yes.
But again, if you go back to paragraph 6, it says if it's canceled in the initial first term by the licensor, by us.
Right, but this is by them.
I know, but it's all of my argument would be, no, you don't get the
$40,000. Oh, I know, they don't want it.
Yeah, okay, that's, you know.
But we can change these clauses.
Of course, and I think we should, so.
Yeah, now is the time to make an adjustment. Yeah. If you do have an idea, now is the time to bring it forward, and then we can make adjustments and bring it back. They've been very good to work with.
Sure.
They've been very easy to work with. I think they identify that there's a big advantage for them to be able to, hence the agreement, for them to be able to move the equipment to the middle of the township. I think their customers are going to really enjoy it. I think if we have small things like that that can easily be ironed out with terminology, then they're probably more than willing to work with it.
The terminology is important. I think we're looking at 21A. How is this actually defined? It says the second sentence, the licensor shall not cause or permit others, who could be other providers, to interfere with or impair the quality of the telecommunication services being rendered by the licensee from the site. So if, for instance, another company came in and suddenly they've lost some of their power, like we hear tell of this all the time, when the towers get full and your service goes down and you don't have the same reception. So could they argue that you permitted others to interfere or impair the quality? And who determines what their quality was before and how the licensor has impaired it?
And that's possible. I think that it would be incumbent upon us on the next agreement for the third resident of the tower that it's spelled out very easily that you cannot affect the quality of the signal, the quality of the transmissions, or the service that's currently available on the tower and degrade it in any way. And so if they have to use different frequencies, if they have to make adjustments, if they have to use different equipment or different heights in order to achieve that, then that would be a basic part of their agreement.
The problem I'm having with it, I guess, is the actual somewhere where it's written down in black and white what the quality is that they are providing. Can they just sit back and argue that, well, it's been degraded now? And we have no proof. We can't go to anything.
Yeah.
People are getting, you know, slower service. So are we on the hook then?
I understand concern. I understand your concern.
It's the same on C too. That's if the licensor wishes to have any of the licensee's infrastructure that is installed on this site moved, altered, or relocated, the licensor must obtain the consent of the licensee, and if they say no. We have second spot, we're keeping second spot. We'd prefer first, but
they know first is unavailable.
Oh, I know.
So, and so maybe what their best course of action here is, if we have notes from tonight's meeting, or we take a recording from tonight's meeting, we can restructure and have a conversation with Dan from Spectrum and see what his thoughts are on the process. I don't know. This is all very new to all of us. This last tower has been here since I was 5 years old. we're sort of working our way through this. But essentially, because they've been so easy to work with, I don't see why we would have a problem sitting down and just hammering this stuff out and seeing what industry standard really is. Right? So an industry standard is what we've asked them to go by in terms of any other bids and stuff like that, any other contributions of the bidders, as well as Spectrum. What is the industry standard with this? Because, you know, we don't want to handicap anybody, but we don't want to, you know, give anybody an undue advantage as well. So,
as Karen said, I think it's important that our insurance provider review this agreement to ensure that everything that's stated in here is conditions that they would cover if there is anything that would be applicable to the township, and as well, has this been reviewed by anyone who is familiar with contracts?
Like legal counsel?
Yeah.
I don't believe this has not been vetted yet by legal counsel.
No, we wanted it to come to council first.
Can I go back to paragraph 10? I know we skipped past it.
Yeah.
Sure, I've got some more on 21, but you go ahead.
Okay, well, and then we'll go forward.
Where are we on now, 10, sorry?
On paragraph 10,
okay.
Which is back up page,
yep.
Although I can't see, page 3. In the middle of that paragraph, it says that the licensee covens and agrees to remove its equipment, period. But, I mean, I think we should talk about at their sole expense, because if they do that, that's on them, and we don't say it, so they could say, well, you should pay half, right? But it's a small thing, and because they said it's sole expense on us in a couple of cases, we can turn that around here.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And then paragraph 12 on page 4, not page 3, in terms of they will maintain insurance during the term and extensions, public liability and property damage insurance coverage of not less than $5 million. I know it's a common practice that they should say naming us as a named insured, right? Because it's fine to be in the policy, but, you know, we are insured. I mean, they have their insurance for their reasons, but they've got to name us as a named insured. So if there's a claim, we get the money.
I'd also like to see per occurrence in that rather than just a blanket $5 million.
Hmm.
But anyway.
I'm not familiar with that.
That's fairly common. I mean, we run into that. I used the example of the planning board where we asked that we've got $2 million coverage there, and I said that per occurrence, if somebody sued the planning board for whatever reason, and the insurance company came back and said, no, that's just your total, it's not per occurrence. So if there were 5 occurrences, it's still the $2 million sort of thing. And so obviously, it's not as attractive as you would want it to be. So the same thing here. This $5 million, it should be, because the lawsuits these days are quite expensive. And I don't think that would go very far, probably. If it's just $5 million in blanket coverage for all those years,
yeah.
And any number of occurrences.
Okay, I've never heard that. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Per occurrence.
Councilor Ryan was on a roll.
One more item. Item 18 on page 4.
18.
It's the same issue again. At the bottom of that paragraph, they talk about blah, 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 and the licensee shall remove its equipment cabinet at the time agreed to by the parties. And again, I just put in, well, at their sole expense. Right? We're not paying for that. So, and then we're right up to almost 21 anyhow. So
now, Councillor Peckham is going to jump in.
Just discussion, I think would be a good idea to maybe review our Rogers Tower agreement, just to see how that's written, and then just that way we're reviewing it just to, if there's any things in there that may be applicable to this agreement, and as well to refresh ourselves that maybe there's things in the Rogers agreement that we should be, you know, aware of, so.
Was that the one out on West Road?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Not West Road, it's
West Point.
West Point. Or, yeah. No, that'd be good. That was sort of wasn't in my time, so it'd be good to see that again, yeah.
Sort of G?
G, yeah.
Golf.
Licensor permit the licensee full access to the site in advance for the purpose of satisfying itself as to the appropriate conditions for the intended use of the site, provided the licensee repairs any damage caused by any tests or inspections. I'm not sure what's going on there.
I think that was, they wanted to just go in and make sure that the site was appropriate for the installation of a 200-foot tower. We just weren't throwing it up anywhere. We thought it looked good. That I believe will satisfy G, because as part of the contract with Max Tower, they are doing a geo analysis of the site to find the best location with which to create the anchor points.
But at any point, this could be nullified then if they don't agree with this site.
Sure. I guess if Max Tower tries to put it somewhere that they think is oddball and inappropriate. But then Max Tower would be breaking the terms of our agreement, so.
22A talks about extras again. Services do not include, this is at the end, not include the cost of any masts or towers that may be required to acquire the wireless service. The licensor shall bear the cost of any such mast or tower. This gets a little frightening when they start to use the word tower again.
Well, they're just saying that this. Sorry, you said in A here?
22A.
It's a weird way of writing it, but essentially, we're the ones responsible for putting up the tower. Right? And so they're not in charge. They're not responsible for any of the costs associated with that tower, or cost overruns associated with that tower. They're just giving us the signing the contract for the rental agreement plus supplying a $40,000 contribution. This is my understanding of that clause.
So their reference to mast and tower is the actual tower. It's not extras.
Yeah, when they say masts or towers, because you could have a non-grid structure that's a single piece, like flagpole essentially,
yeah,
as a mast, or you know, a tower, which is what we're currently going after. I think it's just a blanket statement that they probably have in most of their stuff. Would you agree?
My interpretation is that they are willing to provide internet to the fire stations and transfer stations, so they're saying if there's any additional infrastructure needed at those sites, that
right,
they would not pay for them.
Well, at those sites? Okay.
Oh, is that? Okay.
I believe
so.
So
you think
it's
the satellite sites?
Because it references the locations the licensor designates to receive the internet service connections as referenced to Article 5, so that was Station 1, Station 2, and the transfer station. If they can't get the coverage to those buildings, that they're not responsible for any additional equipment to get the coverage to those buildings.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, that is one of the nice things about the contract is that they have agreed to provide internet to various facilities of ours at no cost. So I know that the staff at the transfer facility was happy about that, because now you can look at payment methods and so forth, right? That wasn't available to them previously.
So that's at no cost forever, sort of thing? Click in at some point, or?
No cost as long as this agreement is in force.
Oh, okay. Right? And there's no problem with 22B. I looked up the site to see what they had about. It says the licensor will be required to comply with terms and conditions. seemed more like an individual using it,
yes,
rather than the township, but
yeah.
And my assumption is that they wouldn't want us to be a heavy data user at these sites, so for downloading games or streaming movies, like, you know, as those activities wouldn't be conducted at those sites, but it's just a way to protect themselves that we're not becoming a heavy data user.
Based on the tower that they have on Broadbent Road, pretty close to Morley's property, there is nobody on earth that would want to use it anyway because it's abysmally slow.
Right?
You get like 1 or 2 megabits per second.
Yeah.
Whereas I get 250 at my house.
Mm.
Big difference. Right?
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah,
really,
you've got your own tower?
I don't, but I have Starlink and it works quite well.
Oh, I see.
But I mean, it's really it's a curious choice of words at opposite ends of the spectrum. I mean, I didn't think that wasn't a pun, but quite literally, my sister had it for a long time, just again close to where Morley used to live, and her speeds were basically non-existent.
Yeah.
Right? It was consistent and it ran without downtime, but it was slower than molasses. So.
That is a nice benefit to the relocation of the tower for them, is that they can get rid of all that accessory infrastructure that they've had to install just to get signal down to.
Anyway, that's an aside. It's not really the issue of the contract. It's just me saying that. So, and yeah, acceptable use is that you're not running a business and running it through that connection and causing them to lose their bandwidth because we're using it all. But it wouldn't take much. My phone would take more than that. So.
Okay, any other questions? We have the stage. There's still some things to be ironed out, I guess. So.
I'd ask for some direction from council, if you don't mind. As far as the Max Tower agreement, is that clear to proceed, even though this is going back for some restructuring, let's say? Because the only thing I would be concerned about is that if we start pushing dates much past October 15th, essentially we're going to get to cold ground and snow and bad weather, and I don't want to push it too far back.
Mm.
So is that...
The separate resolutions.
Separate resolutions. So the Max Tower resolution is good to go. Okay. Very
yeah.
good.
Yeah, this is just... The spectrum has nothing to do with the cost necessarily of putting it up there, so they come in as the next steps.
It's a contributor. But
yes.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Okay. Now I understand. Thank you.
So... Put this out to council if you want to defer until we get this reworded a bit, or at least some questions answered for insurance, etc. People agreeable to that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll call a question then on deferral. All those agree? Okay, so that's deferred. Unanimously? Well, thank you again for putting all that together. I mean, the whole document and the agreement and pulling out of the old ones. And,
it was, you know, it couldn't have been done without Carly and Mary and Roshan. So,
So great.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks again.
Is that whole section of bedrock under there? Do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty old.
Yeah. Was, you know, casual observation, that's
yeah.
what I thought.
It's not far away.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be a great first amount. I'm just going to get firmer than that, right? So.
Okay, down to 16.1. Resolution 25-308, moved by Councilor Pennon, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received the minutes of the April 23rd, 2025 meeting of the North Bay Prairie Sound District Health Unit Board of Health for information purposes. Discussion. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-309, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the April 23rd, 2025 meeting of the North Bay Prairie Sound District Health Unit Board of Health, Finance, and Property Committee for information purposes. Discussion? I noticed there was a reference in there again to the taking away the cap for the reserves, I guess it was, and that was passed. 3, resolution 25-310. Moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Kevinen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the June 26, 2025 meeting of the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee for information purposes. Any discussion? Councilor Zulak?
I just want to thank the Rec Committee on behalf of the library for the donation of $150 for a Science North event that's taking place in August.
Did they have that last year too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was
well
it was
attended.
Great, yeah, well attended. So that's that's wonderful.
Any further discussion of the minutes? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 25-311, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haslam. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the May 28, 2025 meeting of the District of Prairie Sound, Belvedere Heights, Board of Management for information purposes. Discussion? I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 17.1, resolution 25-312, moved by Councilor Kevin and second by Councilor Ryland. Whereas section 11 of the Municipal Elections Act 1996, MEA, assigns the clerk the responsibility for preparing and conducting municipal elections, and whereas section 42.1b of the MEA allows municipalities to pass bylaws authorizing the use of alternative voting methods, including internet voting, and whereas internet voting has been shown to enhance accessibility, improve convenience, increase efficiency, and provide a secure and cost-effective voting method. And whereas it is prudent to authorize the use of internet voting well in advance of the 2026 municipal and school board election to allow sufficient time for vendor procurement and logistical planning. And whereas the Township of McKellar successfully implemented internet voting in the 2022 election using the services of Televote Systems, Inc., and staff recommend continuing with the same vendor for consistency and operational efficiency. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby, number one, authorize the use of internet voting as the voting method for the 2026 municipal and school board election. Number two, direct staff to prepare and present a bylaw to authorize these voting methods in accordance with Section 42 of the Municipal Elections Act 1996. And three, authorize staff to initiate the process to procure an internet voting service provider in compliance with all applicable legislation and municipal procurement policies. And number four, support continued participation in the West Prairie Sound Municipal Group purchasing arrangement to secure group pricing with Intellivold Systems, Inc. Discussion? Councilor Peckman?
Did Intellivold provide internet and telephone voting last time?
Just internet.
So there was no telephone voting in the last election?
No.
Councilor Ryan?
My recollection, and I could be wrong, was that this was also provided in the preceding election, so in 2018.